Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It'll be an education theme on the program today as we visit with our superintendents in Pottawatomie County and then Manhattan Area Technical College later on in the show, as well as Jim Jeanette will be stopping by. We're going to start first with our live segment here with Joan Simoneau. She's a superintendent over at USD 323 Rock Creek Schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Welcome to February.
I know. It's here and yeah, I was discussing with Rob here this morning as I was pre-recording with him. This month is just a busy month. Even though it's the shortest, it's a busy, busy month.
You know, it's a busy month in education, too. We are, paying attention to what's going on up in Topeka. We're trying to get ready for next year by putting calendars together and starting to figure out things for negotiations and trying to figure out how many more teachers and classrooms we need for next year. So very, very busy time of the year. A lot of activities for kids, too, this time of the year. People have a tendency to think that it's only basketball, but there's a lot happening right at the moment.
Well, let's talk about some of that. What have you got going on this month as far as the student
activities? Well, we have a really cool thing that's going to happen on February 23rd. A young man by the name of Aiden Lewandowski here at Rock Creek, very talented young man, won the KMEA, which is the Kansas Music Educators Association, composition. Boy, I can't say those two words next to one another. And he gets to perform that at the opening of their conference on February 23rd at 1 p.m. at Century 2. He will play the piano, and our very talented vocal music teacher, high school vocal music teacher, Janie Brokenicki, will be singing. So we are very excited about that. So that'll be coming up. We have also had, this is a big time of the year for debate, and our debate coach, Keith Miller, had some wonderful success with kids. They have four speaker debate, and they took sixth place, and then they had four entries and two speaker debate make it to state, and one of those teams made fourth overall. So we're really excited about some of those things.
Well, it's wonderful, celebrating some student success here this month.
Absolutely. And like I said, basketball makes the news, but boy, these other kids and these other activities are out there making a lot of great things happen. But you know, here in February, here pretty quickly, we'll be starting all of the end of season tournaments for basketball, and then we'll be starting the practice for those spring sports. And I jokingly tell people, boy, once track season starts, you have to hang on because the school year is about as fast as it can go at that point.
Yeah. It does. It seems to really speed up. I've noticed that. I used to be, years ago, I was a sports director at a small station in Nebraska, and I would look forward to this time of year because I'd be out at track meets every Friday or Thursday or Friday, whatever it would be, and it's just fun to be outside and watch the sports.
Absolutely. Track meets are one of my favorite things to be able to do. You're outside. There's a lot of socialization goes on, and I just love sports where you're rooting for the first place, but then you're also clapping for that last kid to finish the, get over that, the finish line. And I just think that that's amazing. I just love that about track and field.
I know I've got some parent teacher conferences coming up here. I'm actually going to be at one later today. Do you guys have that coming up?
And not right at the moment. A little bit later on, we'll have those. So ours aren't happening. We will finish up kind of a trimester coming up here. But I think things that we have that are happening right now is schools every year have to go through a outside visitation team comes in to work on accreditation. I spent my day yesterday over at Sedgwick Schools. I serve as their chair for their accreditation. And so my team up here at schools, making sure that we are hitting everything that the state is asking us to do so that we can hit that accreditation mark. So it looks at everything from state assessment scores to how you are hitting all of the kids. Do we look at each kid as an individual as far as their education plan and making sure that they're getting what they need so they can be successful outside of the school district? Also, we have kids who are working really hard because here at Rock Creek, our seniors do what we call a senior exit project, and we're very proud of that. Really gives kids an opportunity to choose something, have a great mentor, and then present their projects. We had some kids do early bird, on those projects in December. The rest of them will have to get those done here in March. And then I'm sure there'll be some of them that have to happen right before graduation. But we're super excited about that coming up. But that's a lot of work that those kids have to do.
Well, accreditation's a very important piece of the pie here. I know there's a lot that goes into state funding, and I'm sure that's a big part of it here. And we're watching that go on in Topeka right now.
I did go to Topeka. I visited with, testified at the State Education Committee. There's a bill that's still in committee that would allow school districts to receive money for kids the year that they realize the kids. School funding is difficult, even for those of us who do it all the time. I tell people that I'm absolutely not an expert in it. It's something that I have to work constantly on. But unlike the other district where I came from, we had almost 100 kids in growth, and we won't see the money for that if the kids were here by September 20th for a year. Those kids are even one day after September 20th and showing up to your districts. It's 2 years before you see that funding. And there is a bill that would allow schools to realize the money for the kids in the year that they get the funding. And that's a huge thing. There are kind of three bills or things that are happening to Topeka right now that would directly impact Rock Creek. Rock Creek is really interesting in that while there's a lot of growth, which is an amazing thing for the area, I drove around for a long time looking for the industrial park in my school district, and you know what? I haven't found it yet. And industry takes a lot of pressure, taxing pressure off of people in a school district because they help, because that becomes part of the tax base. And when they don't exist in your district, that weight of the taxes ends up being on basically rooftops, houses, dwellings, and farm ground, and people who are really seeing the strain. So I'm interested in talking with some people in Topeka about how we can share the wealth when we have growth and people moving in, and not necessarily in the district where the kids are, parents are going to build a house here, but some help from that industry. I don't know if that's possible, but it's definitely worth a conversation. And the other thing that I'm wildly interested in that would also take some pressure off of my particular people would be funding of special education. And special education is not funded, but we're mandated to make sure that we have certain things in place. So that money comes out of general fund, which is, you know, once again, puts more pressure than on the basic taxpayers in the district. So I've been trying to advocate for my people here in Rock Creek, and trying to see if we can have some conversations, and trying to see if we can't see some positive movement with some of these bills that are in Topeka right now.
And I'm hearing the same thing from a lot of the area superintendents on the special ed thing, because I think the 92% is what they're supposed to be funding it at from the state.
Well, yeah. And in the governor's budget right at the moment, she has a 5 or 6 year plan to get us to 92%. And that would be so helpful. Special education is one of the most expensive things that we do, and they're the kids who need us the most. And that money ends up coming out of the general fund when we're not being funded from the state, even though there's a lot of things that are mandated that we do.
Yeah, certainly. And if it can help, ease the burden on taxpayers, I think people could get behind that more than likely.
Yeah, so. Well, I think all of those three things that I mentioned, specifically for my Rock Creek patrons, but really for everyone that's out there, none of those would hurt any of my surrounding districts and my other superintendent friends who represent other people, but would be really helpful for a district that's growing like we are.
And I know we talk a lot about growth here, and especially in your area, you're growing quite fast. What's the likelihood that we're going to need another school at some point? Do you see that coming soon?
You know, I'm not sure. Being really new here, the board did hire a gentleman, and he's going to present at the March meeting kind of his findings on growth and on sustainability of that. It's not being my area of expertise. It's hard for me to know whether or not this growth that we're seeing, that we saw this year, is something that's sustainable or that will happen. And so I suggested that they find someone, hire someone who was much more knowledgeable about that than I am, and he'll report at our March meeting. So if we would continue to grow like we did this year, at some point in time, we're going to have to do something. I mean, absolutely. But I think the thing here is to kind of step back for just a moment, take a breath, and have somebody come in and talk to the board about that growth, how sustainable that growth will be, and what that might look like, not just next year, but in 5 years and in 10 years, so that they can make the best decision that they can make. So, we'll see.
All right. Those are good conversations to have, because, I mean, you want to be prepared if you have to expand and communicate that.
Absolutely. I mean, I can tell you that I am going to ask the board at our meeting if they would consider not taking any out-of-district students, other than if a parent works here in the district. Kids who already go here would be, of course, grandfathered in, but because of space. We really didn't take anyone this year, but basically saying if you don't live in the currently living in the district, that we won't take anyone. So just to kind of give us some breathing room to have great conversations with the people who live within the district on kind of what they want to see the direction of the school go. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, it is, again, a busy time of year, and we appreciate always getting these updates from our area superintendents. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, other than I'm just really excited. I'm gonna try to get to Century 2 and hear some great music. And I'm really proud of some kids who are out there making some great things happening. I'm looking forward to watching our kids as they go through a tournament basketball here as we get ready for sub-state and state ball. And excited for track and baseball and all the wonderful things that spring brings. So and of course exit projects and all the things that we're doing up here at Rock Creek. So really, really busy time up here on the Rock.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Joan, always good to talk to you, and we'll visit again in about a month.
All right, thank you. Go Mustangs.
All right, that's going to wrap us up here for the first segment. Stay tuned. We'll hear from Rob McKim over at Wamego up next on News Radio KMAN. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN here on a Wednesday morning. And today it's Education Centered. We'll be visiting with Wamego, Rock Creek Schools, as well as Manhattan Area Technical College here this morning. But we're going to talk here this segment with the superintendent at Wamego, USD 320, and that's Rob McKim. He joins us via Zoom. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. It's halfway through the week.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think a lot of us are giddy for the Super Bowl, so we're all kind of eagerly anticipating that.
Yep, and if you're a college basketball fan in these parts, it's been pretty well. So, there's a lot of good things happening outside of the school world and inside of the school world.
Well, let's talk about that. February is kind of a busy month. You wouldn't think of it maybe here on the outside looking in here, but because it's the shortest month of the year. But that doesn't mean anything in the school business, because there's a lot of activities that happen during the month of February.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, it's the shortest month of the year, but we have the most number of school days in the year. So, we're in school in session as much as February as any month. But at the high school level, a lot of our winter sports seasons are wrapping up and finish the March to postseason, and then hopefully have a long March to postseason. So we certainly wish those folks, coaches and participants, athletes, student-athletes, the best of luck in their endeavors. Hopefully we're into the state tournaments, et cetera, and so on, and have opportunities to really shine in those situations. But overall, we've had a good season. We also have our spring play at the high school level that comes up mid-February. So if you have an opportunity to get out and see that, they'll do a wonderful job. I'm looking at just through our stuff. We have State Piano Festival. It's just a lot of different events where kids have an opportunity to show what they have worked on and show their abilities. And that doesn't overshadow. We have homecoming this week. So we are semi-formal is on Saturday for the high school, but also our homecoming activities really all week long, and then showcasing then at the crowning ceremony, the Friday night ball game.
Nice. That's always a lot of fun. That really brings the community together. Do you guys host that at your high school then?
We do. Yes. That'd be Friday night. I don't know when the crowning ceremony is. It's either halftime of the boys game or usually between the girls and boys game. And this is my first year here, so I'm not sure what our past practice has been. So that'll probably be what we do going forward.
Okay, very good. And again, we're wrapping up the sports tournaments here very soon. I know state basketball is just around the corner. So, and we'll be looking forward to hopefully seeing a deep run for both of the Wamego teams. What about spring sports? When will that start up? Do you know?
I can look here real quick because it's that first weekend in March. First, so I bet it will start up, and I haven't looked, but I bet it's even February 27th is when it could be. So it'll either be February 27th or that March 6th. Kind of depends on Kasha's season, but yeah, one of those two is when it will take place.
Okay. Now we're looking forward to that because that means warmer weather's just around the corner.
You know, we hope so. I've had conversations with a lot of people here in the last 30 years in education, and it seems like February is the longest month as far as just the grind of education. And so teachers feel it. It really, principals feel it. Superintendents feel it. Kids feel it. So any as parents and as community members, any encouragement you can give to our teachers and staff that are working with our kids, February is the best month for that, as sometimes they really feel that burden.
Yeah, absolutely. And I imagine you got parent-teacher conferences around the corner too. Is that coming up?
Yes, it is the first weekend in March, March 7th. In that week, I mean, we have multiple days when that can happen, but the week of March 7th is when parent-teacher conferences will be for Wamego.
All right, so stay tuned for that from your child's teacher. You know, get some more information, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. We're also getting into the thick of the legislative session here now, about a month in, and I've been kind of keeping an eye as much as I can on the Education Committee, and there's quite a few bills that are being introduced here. Anything in particular you're watching?
Well, really anything that seems to affect public education. So the K-12 committee usually has some bills in it that we watch and pay attention to. And then the education committee does as well. I think the education committee sometimes works on that K-16. So sometimes that post-secondary side of it too. But obviously the first K-12 affects us. So we watch those pretty closely, and we would really encourage our community to watch that as well and make their voices heard. Obviously we like public education. We think it's valuable to the community. And so anything that supports us in a positive way, we would encourage those folks that also want to talk to the legislatures in favor of those, we would encourage it, but we really encourage everyone to be involved in the process and understand what's going on and look at those bills closely to see how they might affect the state, but also us here locally.
There's been a lot of talk, I know, on special ed funding from what I've gathered here, and kind of maybe refilling the state's portion, because I guess it's supposed to be around 92%. And it hasn't been that for a while. What is the rate at currently for Wamego? Do you have any idea?
Oh, gosh, I don't have that specific rate. We transfer, I'd hate to use a number, but it's a good, healthy amount of money from our Gen Fund budget over to special ed budget. So 92% is the state statute. The law has said that the state will fund, make sure that 92% of all special ed costs are funded. And they're not, I believe we are in the high 70s, 78, 77. Don't quote me on that number, but that would be right around there. We've been declining every year, and that's mirrored kind of the states as well. And if you project out, you know, we're looking at the 75, 72%, which, there's, we would love to be able to if that money comes in from the state and we're able to go to those special ed costs, then obviously the money that is in our general fund budget can go towards increasing teaching salaries, those types of things that really we feel could make a difference in our recruitment and retention of our staff.
Yeah. All right. That seems to be the trend here in the region. So somewhere in the 70s is about where everyone's at. I've heard that
right.
from Manhattan. I've heard that from Riley County. So
okay.
So that seems to be about the same. But you mentioned teacher salaries, and I know it's competitive. This is a time of year where it's kind of interesting, too, because this is usually when you start seeing transitions happening, people changing jobs here. Have you had any... Are you mindful of that here with as far as retirements go, or are people moving on?
Yep. Yeah, very much so. We have we offer a $500 incentive for those folks that tell us early, and it allows us to get a jump start on that process. So we probably have 10, 11 teachers that have said, hey, we're retiring at the end of the year, or we've already know we're relocating to a different area. Or just need a change in what we're doing. And so they have committed to and offered their resignation for the 23-24 school year. So we've started looking to fill those positions, and we'll continue to do so. Yes, the transition process has started and will continue even through May and June. Unfortunately, we used to back in my early days of education, really in April and May is when that was pretty well wrapped up. And but now it's slid into May, June, sometimes even July, when you're still looking for teachers to fill.
All right. Yep. So if you're out there and you're needing a teaching job, and check out the WAMIGA website, usd320.org. I'm sure you'll have some opportunities. If not now, maybe in check back often. You'll probably have some opportunities coming up.
Yeah, usd320.com. We're a .com-er.
Okay.
So yeah, get on there, and we have our positions listed, and we would love to have you as a Red Raider here at USD320.
All right. Well, is there anything else, Rob, that you want to highlight here before we wrap things up?
Gosh, I think we hit everything that I had on my list today. Probably the last thing I would say is that just keep encouraging kids, parents, get those kids to school. Every day is a learning opportunity, and every day we don't have them in the building is a lost learning opportunity. So in the state, chronic absenteeism has become a pretty legitimate concern, and one that we have here as well at WAMIGA. So please have those kids in school and the opportunity to teach them, and our kid, when they're gone, our teachers miss them, our staff misses them, but also they miss out on some learning opportunities.
All right, yeah, well said. Oh, Rob, always good to talk with you here, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in about a month.
Sounds good, Brandon. Thank you.
We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, live for the rest of the program here as we visit with Jim Jeanette, president of Manhattan Area Technical College. Welcome in.
Good morning. I'm glad I'm live.
glad so too.
Yeah.
Good to have you here as we get into the month of February here. How have things been going for you out at MATC?
College is busy as always. I spend most of my time in Topeka these days with the legislature, the regions, tech ed authority, all that fun stuff. But can't believe this crazy weather we're having. But that also helps us with some of our recruiting and special events. And right now construction's at a bit of a stop while we're letting the ground settle. Pretty soon we'll be doing the concrete pad, and then the structural steel will go up for the new building, and moving forward.
That's good to hear. And yeah, so needed. I know we've talked about how that project is going to really impact the future. And boy, you talk about momentum right now. I feel like the whole region right now has a lot of it.
There is. You know, it's kind of fun. I watch it from my perspective and listening to some of the things I hear, and there's competition. It's I call it friendly. It's sometimes it probably isn't, but you got Wichita, you got Manhattan, you got Lawrence, Topeka. The big chip factory thing mentioned last week for Wichita. But it's a cool competition in terms of the state is making us competitive to go after those things. And that's really the fun part, is all of a sudden Kansas is kind of like the go-to place for some of these major projects. That's a little different than it would have been a few years ago. So that's the exciting part. Kicker is, where are we going to find all the workforce these places need?
So. Yeah. That is a challenge. That certainly is. But it seems like ever since David Tolan became Secretary of the Commerce, he's really just kind of hit the ball rolling.
Well, he and the governor is pro-business. I mean, I think every governor is, but I think she's been able to empower Tolan. He's a business guy. I'm impressed, you know, when I've watched him do his things. He gets into those things, and he knows how to talk to the business folks. He knows how to talk up Kansas, the benefits of the state. They get the support from where they need it with the legislature, communities, et cetera. But that's the kind of thing you have these days to compete for that business. And the cool thing with the businesses that are coming in, as well as the existing businesses that I think are beginning, you know, they have been expanding, all of this is a global economy. It's not just – it props up Kansas internally with what it brings in, but we're doing things for the whole world with these factories and these companies. So that's cool.
Yeah, and that means that those jobs are probably sustainable. They'll be here for a while.
Yeah. You know, we're excited, like with Scorpius. You get into biomanufacturing, bioscience, our ability to work with K-State on that with the area chambers of commerce. Biotech touches everything. Same thing with the chips. So we're really in a good position in Kansas, in the Manhattan area, to affect that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about people looking for work here. There's going to be some opportunities for some career fairs, it looks like.
Yeah, my folks have done a great job. Everybody's looking for workers. So my folks working with Kansas Works, the Heartland Work Center in particular, they've come up with a unique idea on a career fair, and I have to look at my cheat sheet because this is different than we've ever done before. So we're doing 3 days of job fairs at Manhattan Tech, March 21st through the 23rd, but each day has a separate specialization, if you will, targeting occupation. So on the 21st, Tuesday the 21st of March from 1 to 3, it's going to be related to healthcare. On the 22nd from 2 to 4, it's construction tech, HVAC, welding, electric lineman. And then on the 23rd from 2 to 4, it's automotive tech, industrial engineering tech, network tech, and business. Part of that is we don't have enough space to accommodate a whole lot of business folks as well as our students all at one time. And I know the last time I talked with my folks, we've got close to 30 businesses already signed up coming in to meet with our students in these different areas, talk to them, accept their resumes, do some quick interviews. It is open to the public, so you know if somebody's looking for a job or if there are other employers that want to get in on this, they can contact us. The number is 785-587-2800. But we're real pleased. I've been real pleased with the staff from Heartland Works, part of the Kansas Works, coming and working with us on this. And so we're pretty excited. And I think this approach of having different areas of emphasis each day, different occupations, will really be cool for the employers.
It's been a while since I've participated in a career fair. What do those look like these days?
Well, part of what we do with our program anyway, and almost every one of our programs, is we're also talking to the students about the resume skills, the interview skills. How do you dress? What's the appropriate dress? You know, if you're going in for a mechanic job, you don't want to be probably in a tuxedo, but you don't want to look shabby either. But the real emphasis is on how do you brag about your skills? What have you learned? How can you show that to somebody with your resume? How can you talk, you know, with the employers these days? Can you show up for work reliably? Can you listen? Can you take direction? Can you work with other people? And so we stress that in each one of our programs, as well as teaching the real skills, the tech skills. So, again, they're going to have a chance to meet with these different employers, get the pitch from the employers, leave off a resume. These days it's often electronic or digital, you know, format. And then there's always the follow-up about, okay, I want you to come for a real interview, you know, more in-depth interview, so-and-so, such-and-such time, set that up that way. With some of the employers, with the demand they have in workforce, like in healthcare, some of the offers they can make to some of the students in terms of, we can help pay for your college, we can give you a signing bonus if you promise to work for us, we can provide tools. It's really a great time to be the worker because you can negotiate some pretty good bonuses, if you will, some incentives at the start, as well as work for a very good employer in the region. So it's definitely good to be the worker and have those abilities to negotiate because your skills are so needed.
Wonderful. Well, that's good to hear, and some good paying jobs out there. And this really benefits both sides.
Benefits both sides. It's always good for us to have those connections with the employers. It also helps us as we recruit other students. With a lot of the employers, more and more besides the basic skills, then they start talking to us about some customized training, some ongoing training. And so it really just keeps ratcheting up the skill level of the technical workers, our exposure to the employers' connections back to us.
All right. So, again, that's March 21st through the 23rd. Not too far away, really. That's just about 6 weeks away.
The week after spring break, we've all coordinated across the state, K-12 and higher ed. So week before, we're all getting rested up so we can do this right.
All right, very good. Then after that, about a month later, you've got the National Career and Technical Education Signing Day.
Yeah, so this actually started years ago at Washburn Tech when Clark Coco was the dean there. And now it goes nationwide. Many of us are members of a group called NC3, the National Coalition of Certification Centers. That was started by Snap-on Tools. It has a lot of Fortune 500 companies. But much like athletes, high school athletes signing to go to a college, this relates to tech ed, and it's students who have signed up to go into a tech program, whether it's at a tech college or a community college. And with NC3's help, this actually gets streaming nationwide on the web. Last year, we had over 100 students and parents participate in this. It tends to get bigger each year. And, of course, the students, we blow a lot of attention at them. They get some swag, but we make a big deal of them signing, coming to our program. The parents get a chance to talk to the teachers. We have chances for the scholarships to enter a contest for some scholarships that the students can. But it's really just, again, more exposure and publicity. The Chamber of Commerce locally is helping sponsor it this year, so we're looking forward to it. It just really keeps spreading the word about how valuable tech ed is.
I feel like we've had, I think we did a story on this once. I think we had Sam Haney go out there and visit with one of those students, maybe a couple of them. And, it's a lot like National Signing Day for sports. It's really cool.
We had Wayne Sloan talk to the students last year before they started signing. And, you know, his story and the company story with BHS, those are the kind of things that resonate with a lot of our students. And like, wow, you did that? Yeah. You can do that through tech ed. I get a kick out of telling students these days in the Manhattan area, we've all watched the renovations at St. Isidore's. Mm-hmm. Well, the supervisor for that project for BHS is one of our construction tech grads.
Really?
So there's no limit to what you can do.
Yeah. What a beautiful project, too.
Yep.
My goodness. All right. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll visit more with Jim here in a moment about some other items, including an open house that we're going to take a look at here later in the spring. In Focus continues in a moment here on KMAN. Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're visiting today with Jim Jeanette here from Manhattan Area Technical College and getting updates on what's going on at the college here this semester. We've got, we're in February. February goes by kind of fast, and then we're kind of right into spring. You have an open house coming up in April.
We do. There was an article in a journal called Education Week about 3 weeks ago. And I had to write this down a little bit so I could get it right. But there's a group that surveys parents every year about what are they expecting K-12 to prepare their students for, their children for. And in 2019, the 10th highest priority of the parents was they wanted K-12 to prepare their kids, to go to a college or university. And number 27 in 2019 was preparing them for a career. So number 10 was going to a college university. Number 27 was a career. The latest results of that poll for 2022, preparing your students for a career jumped to number 6 from 27 to 6. Preparing the students for a college or university dropped to 47th.
Wow. Kind of flip-flop.
This is a nationwide poll. And the trouble is, you know, and this happens with everything from politics, other things, it's that pendulum and it goes too far, you know, the middle's better. But it is an exciting time to have the ability to provide tech ed in the area because everybody needs workers, they need skilled workers. The income opportunities are unreal. The chance to be part of a thriving business, to even perhaps someday run your own business or take over an existing good business are incredible. But also, I want to keep preaching the perspective that it's not the old days. Tech ed's not an end, a dead end. Tech ed is one step in lifelong learning. And I've been real happy with the discussions we've been having with K-State the last several months about more collaboration, ways to work together. So this open house, again, this will only be our second one post-COVID. Last year, we had around 500 to 600 people. This is a chance you don't have to make a reservation, but if you're bringing a group, it's good to let us know you're coming. We'll get a lot of middle school kids, high school kids, parents, other people. And they get a chance to explore the campus, explore the programs. Yeah, there's fun stuff to do if you want to ride the bucket truck with the lineman. You got to put all the gear on and get a ride up the bucket truck. their stuff with healthcare. All the programs provide some hands-on opportunities. But the exciting part is you watch those younger kids and they're going, man, I got to do this, and I didn't know that career goes this way, and I could make this kind of money. And they start thinking about that. And one of the cool things in talking with K-State and some of the other university people in the state, our students become good learners because of that hands-on approach, and then they're more interested in even more education, that even higher education at a four-year institution. But it's because we've helped them learn to learn and to see the connection of what you're doing to what it says in, well, I don't say textbook anymore, everything's digital. But if they go on to the university, then they're more interested in understanding that theory. Here's the why hydraulics works this way. You know, we teach them how to use hydraulics. They start using it. That's fun. Now I want to understand why does it do it. So that's been a big change in perspective of all across education in the last probably 10 years. So the open house really emphasizes that connection of come look at what hands-on, look at the careers, have some fun with it. So we hope a lot of people come out. Good weather that day, we hope. But you don't need a reservation. But parking, you probably need to park over by Seco. That's our overflow since we have less parking because of the construction. But it'd be a great time for people to come out and explore what's going on.
Absolutely. April 27th, mark your calendar for that MATC open house. And when they come out, will they be able to see some of the stuff about the college updates
that yes.
we're yep. seeing there?
Yep. Well, we already have some digital and other displays up. There'll be some more up.
Okay. Well. Cool. Yep. All right. Well, very good. Lots going on, you know, on campus, and then before you know it, we'll be back to graduation again.
Yep.
It'll be here before you know it. Wanted to see if I get you to weigh in on the retirement. It was announced this morning here in K-State Today, I believe it was, that Ken Glasscock from K-State Innovation Partners, he's retiring April 1st, I think was the date they said. So, he's been a big pillar in this community for a long time. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been fortunate. I got to know him when I came here 8 years ago and start working with him and with Rebecca and the other folks out there. I can't say enough good things about his support for Manhattan Tech and Tech Ed, and he sees that relationship that we play that it just adds value to what K-State Innovation Partners and the Chamber does. They work on knowledge-based economic development, but the workforce side, the skills-based, comes on our side. So, you know, I wish him the best with retirement, but we're going to miss him. He's somebody who sees into the future. He knows how to talk with people, put together, find the common ground that drives people that want to work together, bringing business opportunities to the area. His work with the university and their ideas, the way they create things with research and then capitalize on that, that's super. So I wish him the best, but we're sure going to miss him. He's been one great partner for everybody in this region.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, and again, we wish him the best as well here because he has done a lot of good things here for this community and appreciate his service. Is there anything else going on here that we should know about?
Over at our Wamego Center, we're wrapping up the renovations in our final building, the Far North building. So later, not too far off in the future, we'll have the welding lab running. We've already had discussions with Caterpillar over there about starting some non-credit training. Sometime in 2024, the other half of that building, we will start offering electrician training. Students in that will go through a curriculum put together by a Greenlee Electrician Company, so they'll be able to test for Greenlee credentials. On welding, we use Lincoln Electric curriculum. Our enrollment in Wamego doubled in 1 year at our center. So we're looking forward to doing more there, but again, all that relates to the whole regional economy with what we're putting together. I don't know the exact timeline, but some other new programs that are coming before too long. When I say too long, it's probably 6 months to a year or more out. Data analytics training. We'll be doing more with cybersecurity in the IT area. We're working on putting in a program for childcare education to train people with that. We know that's a big need in the area, and we can help with at least the training part. We're also looking at some other things in healthcare, like respiratory therapy. Diesel mechanics, not connected to healthcare, except unless you're a big guy like me, then it feels like it's diesel. So there's almost an endless stream of what we could do, but again, we need resources and partnerships to do that. But we are working on some things, especially healthcare and IT related for the future.
Very good. All right. Well, nice to hear that you're kind of doing a little bit of everything right now.
We do it all.
As far as this weekend, I got to get your thoughts on the football game. What do you think?
Well, you know, I got to say it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to say Chiefs 31-27.
31-27, all right.
MVP, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be Kelsey. I think Mahomes already got his. I think it'll be Kelsey's turn.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say it's going to be a defensive player who does the turnover to win the game.
Okay. Frank Clark, maybe? Or
never know. That'd be cool to watch him rumble in with a fumble or an interception, take it all the way in.
Oh, that'd be nice to see.
I think the defense is going to have to come through to take some of the pressure off the offense.
Of course, Bronco boy over here is probably rooting for the Eagles on Sunday. Troy, are you who you got in the game? I know you're not a fan probably of either team here, but who do you like?
Well, like is not a word to use for me in this ball game, but I honestly have concerns for the Chiefs' offensive line matching up with what the Eagles' defense has done all season. I'm thinking back to what Tampa was able to accomplish against Patrick Mahomes the last time. And so I think that there's some upfront concerns for the Chiefs. That said, I do think that it's going to be a good game if Mahomes is able to maneuver on that ankle and make some things happen. I'm maybe not looking at 31-27 like Jim is, but I'm probably going to call it more like 28-24.
Sounds good. I like it. Well, either way.
A close game, good Chiefs game. Yep.
That's what we'll hope for anyway, when it's all done.
All right. Well, Jim, appreciate you being here.